One woman bent close to another and started to talk to her.
"I know, I can see you snickering," the man said.
"Yes, large portions of the city have no sexual orientation or tendency. This is essential to ensure they cannot be swayed or manipulated. The tendency to ignore fact is most often motivated by the desire to have something or to achieve something. If there is no desire, the tendency for corruption is gone."
"But how do they live if they have nothing to live for?"
asked the same woman. "They live for fiducia. That's enough for them. That's all that matters to them."
"Isn't that unfair to them?"
"No, they have no desire for sexuality or other pursuits. All their biological needs are met. Their biology, their conditioning, and their culture leave them void of any desire." A woman pressed her lips against the glass and kissed it. Another boy waved his arms in the air.
"They can't see you," said the man. "The glass is one way. There is a strict rule about keeping them away from any outside influences."
"You mean they can't go online?" a tall boy asked.
"They have no way to do that, and actually no desire to do so. Everything they desire is provided," he said.
"Isn't that very sad?"
said an Asian woman.
"They never get a chance to fall in love."
"Perhaps, but we don't see it that way," he said. "We are performing the noblest of tasks, so the world can remain in clarity and harmony and peace. What other pursuit could be more worthwhile than this? It fills us with a calm, peace, and contentment. There is much more to life than desire."
"Does Fiducia have any desire to gain something out of all this?"
asked a tall boy with glasses. "I hope not," said the tour guide. On the other side of the glass, in the large room below, a multitude of men in robe-like uniforms busied away at their task. They were oblivious to the group of students who observed them through the one-way mirrored glass. Light filtered down in parallel rays from the skylight, some 20 feet above. It illuminated the room completely with the natural but tinted light of the sun. It was designed to be at once functional, cost-effective, and aesthetically pleasing. The monks would spend most of their lives in this room, so every effort was made to make it a comfortable and productive environment. Every effort was made to make their experience aesthetically pleasing. This spanned from their loose-fitting robe-like uniforms to the ergonomically sound workstations. These were designed so they could be in a half-sitting, half-standing posture that allowed the minimum of back strain. The workstations were pedestal-like and separated by generous space that negated the need for dividers. This gave each of them the feeling of privacy while still feeling connected to the group. Great efforts were made for each of the workers to look similar. They did not see this as a bad thing, as their culture taught them that similarity helped to include them in a meaningful task that was much larger than any of them. There was no quota to follow or pressure to excel. They just all plodded along at a comfortable and soothing pace. Each of them knew exactly what they had to do and did it without hesitation and without question. Positioned on Block 43, Aisle 22, Row 15, was one part of this collective, virtually indistinguishable from anyone else, and dressed and groomed exactly in the same way was Dio Dio Xcitree. Everyone just called him Dio. He was just one more person in this large group. He was almost the same as everyone else, except he wasn't. Most people around him had been born and raised in Fiducia. They had been bred for their specific purposes. They knew nothing else but what they did. They knew nothing else than what they were. Dio Dio tried hard to fit in. He tried hard to forget what made him different than almost everyone in Fiducia. No one else there even remotely suspected that he was any different than any of them. He knew he was, however, and that realization hounded all of his waking moments. He was from the outside, from that cruel and corrupt world they all joked about and shunned. He was part of that corruption they strove so hard to keep out. It happened years ago, and it was only by chance that he ever knew the truth himself. He was part of an experiment they had run many years ago. On the outside, he was diagnosed with a rare form of Asperger's that made it impossible for him to feel emotion or have any desire. When he was around 3, it became clear he would never fit into society. His family had strong connections with Fiducia, and at that time they were much more liberal in their recruitment. It was decided back then to integrate him into the environment and study how he would fit in. That was years ago, so many years ago. He had integrated fully into the culture and had forgotten about the outside. It was his mother that finally tried to contact him a few years ago. She would come to tours regularly and figure out a way to contact him directly. Her messages had no impact on him. For so many reasons, she did not matter to him anymore. Yet he needed to know the truth about who he was. Everything in Fiducia is public record. There are no secrets and no information kept from anyone. It did not take him long to find out about his past. However, due to the overwhelming volume of information around him, it was very easy for him to hide in plain sight. If any other person knew anything about who he was, they told him nothing. So he went on living as he had since he could remember, with only the slightest of anxiety that someone would one day somehow find out who he really was. This ever-present anxiety pushed him to be more normal than normal, to do things more correctly than the others. He worked in internal audits. He audited the auditors, the process, and the system. The process was intricate and multi-tiered. It was so complicated that no one person could understand it all. It was well documented, and computer systems were integrated into it. Because of the complexity and large amounts of data that is processed every moment, computer systems were essential to maintain the fluid and accurate flow of data. But systems are only ever as good as the designers. This required vigilant auditing and interaction with real people. It was Dio's job to audit them, as well as the systems they used. In order to do this, he audited their data flows, looking for anomalies that might uncover flaws in the process that may have been overlooked. Data flows in the world were ever evolving. There were always people from the outside trying to capitalize on any loopholes they might find. The stakes were high, the ability to manipulate facts to bend the truth to their needs. Many tried, but few had much lasting success. This did not deter them, and incursions were regular and persistent. However, every operation leaves a footprint, some trace of what was attempted. Although he didn't flaunt it or even think much about it, Dio was a master of this process. He would routinely uncover the most sophisticated of attacks. Today, he was onto something again. He was deep into the system. Something was there. Something wasn't right. There was an anomaly, a combination of anomalies. They always eluded him. It seemed like it was a moving target that eluded all of his attempts to uncover it. It seemed to be spread over large areas of the system. It was subtle but persistent. He had been at this since this morning, and the more it eluded him, the more he became intrigued. His blood was up, and he pursued it like a hunter chasing his quarry. He had been drawn into it so completely that he had skipped his lunch break. A few of his blockmates had looked at him, shocked and dismayed, when he told them he would join up with them later. This was unheard of. Everyone stopped at their allotted break time. But then Dio is a little odd, they would tell each other. Finally, an hour later, he set up some sniffers and ran a few automated processes to try out a hunch. Then he headed off to the break room. Exiepta was there. He was from another role, but Dio knew him well enough.
"Greetings, Citizen Dio,"
he said.
"Greetings, Exiepta,"
Dio returned.
"You're late for your break,"
Exi said, a little alarmed.
"Yes," said Dio.
"I lost track of time."
"Lost track of time?"
said Exi, perplexed.
"What could be so important to allow you to miss your break?" "I don't know," Dio said,
lowering his eyes.
"I've been a little bit forgetful lately." "Perhaps you should go to the infirmary,"
Exi said.
"Perhaps you need a diagnosis." "Perhaps you're right, Citizen Exi."
Dio was feeling a little self-conscious.
"Are you going to the concert tonight?"
he said, changing the subject.